Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Rita. And thank you to everyone who helped in various ways with our Christmas concert last night. Thank you, Eleanor, and everyone who organized and behind the scenes or up front. Can we give a big thank you to them all? Those of you who are here, no, it was a wonderful, delightful evening, and it's a little chilly in here, but certainly we warmed the atmosphere last night, and I think you can still sense it. So thank you to all. Lots of more Christmas activities coming up, and do check your bulletin. Well, at long last, we have come to the season of Advent, and as we said earlier, this is actually the beginning of the church calendar, when we prepare ourselves to celebrate the most tremendous reality, when God himself took on humanness and came in person to our world, born as one of us and into our hearts and lives. One of the most favorite and one of the oldest songs in our hymn book is an Advent hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. And this hymn originates in Latin in the 12th or 13th century AD. So that's at least 700 years ago. And yet it is still up there on the hit parade. It's still a favorite. And it may seem like a mixed up song in some ways. The chorus says, rejoice. But the verses sound very melancholy. But this is intentional. For it is only when we realize how desperate our situation is without Christ that we can fully appreciate the joy he brings. It is only when we see how dark things are that we can appreciate the light. Yesterday, we started at home decorating our home for Christmas. And I had my usual job is putting the outdoor lights up on the deck, etc. And so I did so, and I thought, oh, that looks pretty good. You know, it was, I don't know, you know. But it was bright daylight outside. And when I walked out at night and looked back, wow, it was stunning. I was so proud of my handiwork. And but that's the difference, you know, when we realize the darkness that does grip our world and even our own lives without Christ, then we see the difference that his light brings into our world and into our lives. So for today, our sermon is going to be a little different. We are going to walk through and sing through the hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, verse by verse, and look at what the Bible has to say about each theme of the song. We'll see how the light of Jesus is portrayed in contrast to the struggles of humanity. But before we do so, let's pray. Father God, we ask that you would now use this ancient song and your eternal word to show us the glory of your Son, given to us at Christmas. Speak to us now by your Spirit, that we would know you better, celebrate you more, and glorify you in all we do. For it is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. So let's begin by singing the hymn, but just the first verse for now. You'll find it in page 123, song 123, if you'd like to use your hymn books, or you'll see it on the screen. Would you stand with me, and let's sing verse 1 together. Come, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O
Please be seated. Excuse me. Well, that was just a warm-up. We're going to come back to that verse, verse 1 at the end, since it actually sums up everything that follows in the other verses. There are actually 7 verses in the original, but don't worry, we're not going to do all 7 this morning, just the 4 that we have in our hymnal. But let's start by looking at verse 2 of this song. It begins, O come, thou dayspring. Dayspring is not a word we use commonly in our everyday language. What does it mean? Well, the original Latin word is oriens, which we usually translate as dawn. We also get our word orient, as in the east, from that word. So verse 2 is describing the place where the sun rises. It's describing Jesus like the sun dawning over a dark world. The Bible also refers to Jesus in this way. In Malachi 4, this is written 4 centuries before Christ came, it predicts his coming in these terms. But for you who fear my name, the Son, that's S-U-N, the Son of righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. Isn't that a great picture? The sun rising at dawn and newborn calves leaping about with joy. It's a picture of new life, a vibrant, energetic, joyful life. And that's the kind of life that Jesus brings to us. You'll notice that the hymn calls Jesus not just the dawn, but the day spring. The day or the dawn springs from him. And what is a spring? Well, here it's not talking about something that bounces. It means the source, like the source of a river. Rivers originate in a spring, and they bring life to all the creatures near its path. And this is what Jesus is for us. He is the source of life, of eternal, abundant life. So the word dayspring combines 2 truths about Jesus. He is the dawning light for a dark world, and he is the source of life for a world suffering in the darkness of sin. Jesus is our dayspring. So let's stand together and sing verse 2. O come, thou dayspring, come. Would you please stand as we sing that verse? O come, thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Please be seated. Jesus is our day spring. He is also our wisdom. That is how the next verse of this hymn describes him. O come, thou wisdom from on high. And this is also how the Bible describes Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1 explains that Jesus Christ has become for us wisdom from God. Jesus not only teaches us wisdom, Jesus is wisdom. He is the embodiment and source of all wisdom. Wisdom is not having lots of information. Wisdom is knowing how to live according to how God designed the world, and then choosing to do so. In a world that is often very dark, wisdom is God's light showing us how to live. Like how we read in Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's wisdom shows us how to live best, step by step. And we see no better example of that than when we look at Jesus and how he lived as a man in our world. Jesus embodies true wisdom. And he teaches wisdom to those humble enough to admit they need to learn it. Proverbs 9 teaches us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So true wisdom is found in being humble before God, following his written word, and walking hand in hand in relationship with the one who is wisdom himself, Jesus Christ. He is our wisdom, and he is our light, who guides us through a dark world. So let's stand and sing verse 3 together. O come, thou wisdom. O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in her ways to go. Seated. You're going to get lots of exercise this morning. I want to make sure no one falls asleep during the sermon. In verse 4, our hymn describes Jesus as the leader who will join all peoples in one heart and mind. We've already seen that Jesus is our day spring. He is our wisdom. He is also the true desire of nations. He is the true king of all nations. He is the kind of leader that we all want deep down. And yet, we often reject. The prophecy of Daniel 7 describes the Son of Man as being given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worship him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will never pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Jesus claimed this prophecy to be about himself, and he was crucified for doing so. In verse 4, our hymn describes Jesus as the leader who will join all peoples in one heart and mind. Conflict will cease, and humanity will finally be at peace. In Ephesians 2, we learn that Jesus himself is our peace. Paul uses the example of how Jesus reconciles reconciled the Jews and the Gentiles as an example of how Jesus reconciles all people groups as we all become one with him. Paul writes there, God's purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two groups, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. Jesus is our peace, and he brings true peace and reconciliation between people. Jesus is the only leader who can bring peace and harmony to the world. He is the leader that every nation desires. He is the only leader who can bring diverse peoples together. But he leads us in a very unexpected way. The King of Kings came as a servant, even washing his disciples' feet. He made peace by laying down his life. And in doing so, he taught us the way of peace, something no other king has done. He teaches us by his example that peace comes not through exercising power, but rather through self-surrender. He is the kind of leader we need. He is the authentic desire of nations. So let us sing together, verse 4, O come, desire of nations. Would you please stand? O come, desire of nations, bind all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrels cease. Fill, O, the world with heaven's peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus is our dayspring. Jesus is our wisdom. Jesus is the desire of nations. And Jesus is Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Jesus is God who has come into our world in human form so that he might live every moment of every day with us by his Holy Spirit. He is with us in a way that no other person can be. Think of the person who is closest to you. There's no possible way for them to always be with you, is there? But Jesus continues to indwell us with his living personal spirit. He is always with us. And because he understands what it is to be human, he empathizes with everything we face. So now that we have looked at all four verses of this hymn and understand better these glorious descriptions of who Emmanuel is, we see what an amazing person is always with us. The dayspring, the source of eternal life, is always with us, constantly flooding us with the light of his presence. The one who is wisdom himself is always with us, teaching us, guiding us, shining light on our path so that we can navigate this dark world. The one who is the true desire of nations is always with us, the leader we need and truly want, who reigns in power and glory over all history, and yet who comes to us gently
serving us, even laying down his life. He is the one who is always with us.
Amen.
Amen. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Like Israel, we too have been trapped by our own sin, lost in a dark world, without hope for eternity. Maybe you are sensing the darkness of this world. I find that as November, you know, turns into December, the darkness of the season, it gets to me. And perhaps you have been sensing that, as well as just the lostness of our world or the lostness of your own situation. The good news of Christmas is that Jesus has come to pay our ransom, to free us from that dark prison, to fill our lives with the light of his presence, that we can walk with him step by step until we see him in glory one day. God is with us. We only need to walk with him, trusting his teaching and his leadership in everything. We will be honoring his death and celebrating his resurrection and anticipating his second advent, his return, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. As we prepare to do so, let's sing together the entire hymn, O come, Emmanuel. O come, God with us. Let us rejoice, for God himself is indeed with us. Please stand as we sing the hymn.
O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in her ways to go. Emmanuel, mind. All peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease. Fill all the world with heaven's peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Amen. Please be seated.
We gather here at the table where Jesus is with us.
In a very special way, Jesus is God with us at this table. He is with us as our host. He is with us as he gives his body and blood for us. We remember how he took the basic necessities of human life, food and water, and said that this bread and this wine are his body and his blood. Because as we remember him, he is with us to nourish us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is with us now, and we look forward to his final advent, when we will see him face to face and when we will sit at his banquet table. The Bible tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he gave it, saying, "This bread is broken for you." We will be led in a prayer of thanksgiving for the bread.
Old age is taking its toll. However, I'm very, very lucky, very fortunate, whatever you want to say, in being able to contribute something. Can't you hear me? Okay. This is one thing that you find when you're getting to my age. A lot of adjustments have to be made. However, I'm very appreciative of the fact. Hey.
There's the final adjustment.
Let me hold this thing and be done with it. Can you hear me all right now? Okay. Shall we bow in prayer then? Our Lord and Savior, when you set your face toward Jerusalem, it was there.